welcome, everybody. Don't you just love internet radio? We get to talk to each other all over the world. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive. I can see you. Can you see me? Those of us who are intuitives are kind of a little bit like Skype. I'm just learning how to use Skype visuals these days. And I can see you, but you know I don't see your face and your hairdo so much. I see your vibrational self. This is a call-in show. This show is called Radiance by Design, meaning you and I are learning to radiate consciously. So in terms of creating our reality or bringing ourselves forward into the world with a much higher frequency, we have to get conscious about what we're radiating, don't we? Some people have, by birth, a really powerful, loving frequency. And some of us have had to learn how to do that. That means releasing, clearing. My guides always say 95% of the job is clearing. Because when we say we're creating our reality, very often we absolutely bankrupt whatever it is we're trying to create because of some hidden densities in the subconscious area of our body, mind, gosh knows where it came from, lineage, other galactic doodah that you've been experiencing. Because we're like, I always say to people, we're like Canadians and Americans, meaning we've lived all over the world and then we come here. And by the same token, our souls have lived all over the universe and they come here. And golly knows what kind of attitudes and beliefs they've picked up way down deep inside of them. And sometimes those come out and they go bam into our beautiful dreams, and sometimes simply retard what it is we're trying to create, and sometimes they stop it, and sometimes they don't interfere at all, so it's always magical. But the best thing we can do, or not the best, one of the most powerful tools you and I can use is learning to radiate at a strong and conscious level, lifting your consciousness to sweep through your body, find where the densities are, do some clearing, and then move your dreams forward and feel them, see them, know them, palpate them, you know, as if you're living in a three-dimensional video reality. But always, always, always there's that time of facing what's blocking and bringing it up. So what's blocking might be, I want to create an easy flow of abundance. But maybe deep down, I'm looking at somebody here, I don't even know you, but anyway, deep down, just above the pubic bone, in the woman in behind her, almost to the uterus, there's this funny little tourniquet, like a real tight knot. So she's creating a reality. She has a very expansive heart, very expansive brain, and an absolutely creative and artistic way of creating in her visioning. She's really good at that. But way down deep underneath, there's this knot that goes, oh yeah, I'm not used to that. That's not really the way it's worked for me. And there's an argument going on. And I want to tell you this, that you don't have to know all the pieces of the argument. All you have to do is feel it. So for those of you who are listening, if you have anything that's kind of similar to that, blocking your flow of abundance, you probably are going to feel it in the lower part of your belly, in your chest area, in perhaps around the eyes, I don't know, because it's slightly different for a lot of people. But what you want to feel is where your body is tense. You can say, I'm not tense at all, but I'm telling you what, if we keep talking like this and the guides are really sending their light through at this very moment, you're going to suddenly go, oh, yeah, I have a tension. Oh, I have a little bit of a heart palpitation. Oh, I have something in the back of my thighs. Oh. And guess what? I've already said it, but I'm saying it again. You don't actually have to know where that came from, who it came from, why it came. You just have to call it forth, look at it, feel it, exaggerate it, and then either hand it to your guides and angels or command total release, because it's just like a fur ball. It's like an energy blob that blocks you from being able to create with the ease and grace that you really know you can do. So that's a long preamble, but Radiance by Design is truly about creating your reality. And a lot of us have heard some of the more amazing, amazing revelations of corruption out there, whether it's about Obama and the Republicans and the banksters, as Linda Sherman calls them, and the Goldman Sachs and the coal trains coming through Bellingham and all of that kind of stuff, it's getting, or even the stuff we learned about Australia, where in 3 years they've gone from a debt-free economy into a huge indebted economy because of a power struggle with natural gas and people not being able to get their hands on whoever's voting for it. The beings with the money have the most power. Okay, in the middle of all this, and we're facing the shift, and we're coming to 2012, we're coming to that shift in incredibly huge, huge universal downloads that are flowing through every approximately 26,000 years, which, and this is in parentheses, which tells me that the big change is not going to come on one day in 2012. It's going to flow through, probably taking a number of years or decades and so on. But the shift is supposed to have downloaded from the universe enough shifting energies to allow us or to help us or to provide for us the ability to open up and release the densities and the old beliefs and the old programs that we've gathered by galloping around the universe as very eager, explorational souls, and then coming here to test our mettle and see if we can evolve ourselves from primitive and kind of enslaved to a self-creating species with using free will to the higher level on an individual and collective level. That's kind of a lot of work that we've been doing over the last thousands of years, isn't it? So anyway, here we are coming to the shift, and you and I are trying to release ourselves from the lockdown of the past and help to create an abundant, no matter what's going on with these revelations, an abundant and a win-win and a sharing and a compassionate and a really loving collective. That's our small job these days. How are we doing with it? How are you doing with it? Let's just do a sacred geometric meditation talking about coming through the shift and wanting to live in a kind of community consciousness. I like doing these meditations at the beginning of every show because you and I are in community when we do them. When we all meditate together, we'll go back into the Maharishi setting it up that if all these people meditated together for 3 months around Washington, D.C., the crime rate dropped. And over in India, around Maharishi's community, all kinds of community problems like alcoholism and thievery and, you know, pick a thing, anything, have dropped intensely within the radiance of the work that he's taught his beings to do, his students to do in a meditative fashion. So I feel like it's really important for us to learn to meditate together and to really build the fields and frequencies and send them pell-mell all over the universe, going through the collective of our species all over the world. That's why I started by saying, isn't it fun to be on global radio? Here we are. Let's do our meditation. Then I want you to call in and ask me any questions. Ask my guides and angels, really. Any questions about what's blocking you, what's undoing you, what are you after right now? How can we support you? Can we help you unhook any of the energy limitations you've got? Or do you just have things to report? I like that, too. Deep breath. And for all of those of you, for those of you who are new to this program, welcome. It's always wonderful to see some new faces and some new lights joining us. Thank you. Deep breath. Now, above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of gold light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Can you feel it? And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. And then upside down, another four-sided pyramid. Remember, its point sticks into the lower golden ball. So you have an octahedron taller at the top than it is at the bottom. And inside of your octahedron, your eight-sided figure, see a crystal ball. The edges of it touch the inside edges of your eight-sided figure. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. And you're inside of it. Now remember, you have a filament of light running right through your spine, so you're in that. It's running through you, so somebody could take either end and spin and spin and spin you. As it is now, we're going to spin you in the star tetrahedron, and let's spin and spin you and the star, spin and spin and spin. And as you spin, yes, keep spinning. And as you spin, look in front of you, and you're going to see a magical screen. And on that screen, we're going to create a few little movies. And these are manifestation movies. The first one is you becoming what it is you want to become. I want to be multidimensional. I want to come from the heart. I want to be able to move dimensions at will. I want to laugh a lot. What is it you want? You don't have to do what I do, but just see yourself becoming. Feel what it's like to become what it is you dream about. Good. And when you feel like you're getting that right, and you can actually remember this, you want to have the feelings in anything that you're manifesting, anything that you're visualizing. So when you really feel like you've got it, wrap it in light so it can continue, and move it to the side. Then we create another movie on the screen. And this movie is all about what it is you want to create. And so right now I'm going to be more simple. I always say I wanted a television show, but I'd like to do paradigm shifters on a visual way. So that's my Tuesday night show, interviewing people. And I think we're going to do it on Skype or something so that it's a visual. So I see myself, I see all the resources coming to make that work, and the enjoyment and the flexibility and our ability to run it. To see all of that happening. And I'm excited. And when it gets going, I see the funds coming, the resources coming to continue it, to keep it going in the world and to keep it picking up speed. We need all of that that we can get, the enthusiastic incentive for people to feel bigger and more expanded, no matter what the news is telling us. Good. And then I see it happening. I just really enjoy it. I clap my hands and see it ongoing and well supported. Good. And then we wrap that in light, move it over to the side. You don't have to have my vision. You can have your own, but I'm just trying to give you an example. So then we're going to go into the healing center, the galactic healing center. And the first thing is we have the healing team. Each of us has a wonderful, often unseen healing team, and they stand, they ring the table. We have a beautiful healing table. And the first person to come and lay on the table is you, or in my case, me, or in Bob's case, Bob. And you go in and lie on the table, and then you can ask for something specifically to be helped, that you want to be helped with. Or they'll tell you what it is that would be a good idea for you to work on. Right. So you lay on the table. Now look around and see who these amazing beings are that are working with you. Okay. And what is it they do for you, with you? And can you feel it? Mm-hmm. Energy is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Healing energy. Now, you know what I've heard is that sometimes this stuff doesn't hold, not just my work, but other people's. People say, oh, yeah, that's fine, but it doesn't hold. But I really think that maybe things don't hold. First of all, sometimes we need more than one run at the same thing so that it really does develop, redevelop its ability to hold. And sometimes I think it's because there's some deep frustration in the person that they won't let go of. The frustration is somehow embedded in their identity, and he won't let go. So then the body returns to whatever that identity required it to be. I think that. So that's something to play with. So back we go. You're on the table, and they're working on you with such love. Yeah, they love you very much. Good. And now you might want to ask them if they have a message for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want to write that message down. My message was, you need to laugh more. I'm going like, oh, I could handle that. That could be a lot of fun, right? Now I'm going to wrap mine in light. And we're going to push it to the side. And we're going to bring in another healing table. Yeah. And we're going to bring in somebody you know needs healing. Okay. Who's that going to be for you? Yeah. I see somebody who's really having a terrible, terrible time financially. And it's a financial thing. What's happening is the person can't seem to find a job. And financially, it is in headed fast toward a ruined state. But the thing is, how do you manifest when you're like that? And the farther you're, the harder it is, the easier it is to get lower and lower in your self-esteem and in your belief structure. And that's the reverse of what we ought to be doing. So we're going to have this person lie on the table. And we're going to actually ask the team if they will build up her confidence. Yeah, and they're immediately going right to her brain, the brain patterns, and the belly. And they're showing several things, past lives and early parent training and a fear of putting herself forward, I believe. Anyway, they're showing these different places in the body-mind or the energy body that they're moving energy right now. Mm-hmm. And the bitterness that happens, that begins to happen in not only this person, but many people that I've run into are having this crisis right now. The bitterness actually retards the ability to attract something new. Because sometimes what's required is starting something, isn't it? Anyway, they're pulling out just like streams of energy, almost energy strings that are connected to beliefs. And they're pulling them from the head. And from the belly, and from the feet. Yeah. It's making her shoulders sore briefly, but as they keep pulling, there will be an alleviation of that. All right. And now we're going to. That's it. We're going to ask them to continue working with her and to give her some strong affirmations to use. But remember, those affirmations are made much more powerful when there's some releasing going on as well. And right now she's releasing a lot with a little help from her friends here. And we're going to wrap this in light and move it over to the side. And who else is going to come in? Here's somebody I don't know. And it's a person who's really angry and very thin inside, is extremely, I want to say, bitter about a very big disappointment. I guess it's also, it's a male, it's about a job, and he has a family, and he's just losing it entirely. He's financially strapped. He's got awful pains in his neck and his shoulders. Okay, and he doesn't want to lie down. He wants to stand there. So they're saying, okay, you can stand there. It's all right. And they're moving around his head and his shoulders. And again, they're pulling energies out of his neck. Remember, neck is how we record consciousness of self, which for a lot of us is in a state of change. Thank you, God, right? There we go. And then they're moving energy. Oh, good. His neck is much lighter right now. And there's some, oof. And this guy's got a job coming up really soon. And it's imperative that he lighten up. And they're pulling a lot of strings out of his belly as well. And then he can see himself being, he's an innovator. He's charming. He's educated. And he's coming into a collaborative time with several other people in order to create a little business that becomes an efficient support for a lot of people's needs. So he's going to be brought in by his own guides and angels and his higher self and his own training. He's going to be brought into a brand new consortium of beings. But we want to take the pressure and the pain off his body, which has come straight from stress. There we are. Now they're moving his belly. Very good. Very gifted. And we're going to wrap that in light and move it to the side. And now we're going to do our great global political one. Let's take a look at what subject should we work on? Should we work on, let's work on the, I guess we'll work on the political power structure here in America and try to look at the aspects of the power structure that you and I can't vote on. Behind the scenes power, the political power structure, and it's also part of the economic structure, if not a great deal of the economic structure, the power part. And we're going to bring it all in and sit it on the table. All these myriad of people who remember this, they're very focused on two things, power and economic, what will we say, prowess, ability to really get hold of the economic controls. We're going to see them there, and we're going to send a huge, well, ask, I'm asking the team first before I decide things. Yeah. And what they're doing is they're being playful with us today. They're pretending it's like a sculptor, and they're as if they're with their etheric, and we're asking for many, many high levels of consciousness to be just radiating beyond these individuals that are around the table. So they're very high beings, and they're being playful. They're sort of seeing this as a great etheric sculpting potty clay, and they're just re-sculpting it and sending amazing energies up through these beings and showing that the consciousness of their particular tribe is changing, is being massaged into a very graceful win-win consciousness. And I'm seeing the colors change, and they're moving into a golden, a bright yellow, a very intelligent, streaming light yellow, and a lot of gold light and some pink and some purple. There's some big dark patches in there. We're sending pink and purple and white all the way up through all these different characters. And because we see them willing to accept and change, we feel more and more compassion. So the beings of light, the team, are working with them, and we're also implementing a great compassionate response to them. Yes, that's it. And as they get lighter and freer and lighter and freer, they change. And even though it's changing their normal direction, they look softer. What are you seeing there? Let's call in from above. Let's call in streams of those salmon pink lights that add a lot of purple to it, which tells me about consciousness, multidimensionality, and spirituality. And have this stream down through the top of your head, out through your heart, and all the way through your arms and your hands, and now radiate these streams of pink and purple light to all the hot spots in the world where people have lost because of the imbalances of our consciousness as a species. And just see yourself radiating these lights to these hot spots. Good. And now cover the whole world. Just stream this beautiful, healing, harmonious light round and round and round our planet. We've got a full moon out there. I don't know if it's exactly full tonight or tomorrow, but Deb will fill us in on that. But let's have that enhance this amazing healing energy all around the planet as it goes around the planet and comes back into your hands and your arms and fills and roils around your heart, fills your heart with love and compassion and moves through your body and shoots up through the top of your head out into the great central sun. I'm out of breath. That was a lot of work running around the world in a few minutes. And now close off the Galactic Healing Center. Good. And now pop into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. You look so beautiful as you spin and your light gets brighter and brighter. Hello, hello, call in. It's going to be wonderful to talk to you tonight. I think first we might be here. Hi, oh, you're on, are you?
Yes, Deb.
Your light is beautiful tonight, Miss Deb.
Thank you. I can stay if you were about to say something. I can just wait until you're done.
Oh, no, all I was going to say is call in, and then I said, well, Deb might call first, and there you were. But they can call in while you're talking, or they can call in after you're talking. But I want you to talk about your wonderful little news. It's very short, I think, newsletter on the full moon and the eclipse on Saturday morning.
Okay, and please, everyone, do call in while I'm here, so that go ahead to talk to Veronica or me. So the moon will be full. It really looks full tonight, but tomorrow night is really the fuller moon, and
it looks huge right here, Deb.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it beautiful tonight? Oh my God, just exquisite. And but the irony is that it's actually still in Taurus tonight until about 8 o'clock. Well, it just depends on where people are. Here it will be. It's just about to go into Gemini. And it'll be full in Gemini at about 6:30 in the morning on the West Coast. So just go backward a little bit. In the Mountain States, at 7:30, and in the Midwest, it's 8:30, and on the East Coast, it's 9:30. But here in the West, it'll be dawn. And
does that mean we get to laugh more?
Yeah, Gemini is such a sparkly energy. But the thing is, this is going to be an eclipsed, fully eclipsed Gemini moon. And those of us on the West Coast are lucky because we'll actually be able to see more of it than, people who are east of us. It's going to be light by the time this happens with the moon. They won't be able to see it, but we will out here.
Oh, goodness.
So, and I guess Alaska, the viewings in Alaska and up along south of it are the best. Anyway.
Hang on a second. Caller, we're glad you're there, but we're just going to give you just a minute to wait. Okay. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, it really quickly, an eclipse moon is, no matter what sign it's coming through, is a moon which wants us to be able to feel or recognize something that hasn't been revealed to us before, or that we haven't allowed to be revealed to us, or that we haven't revealed to ourselves. And with a moon, it's always something that's coming out of the emotional body, the heart, coming from the heart. But the irony there is that with Gemini, it's also coming out of the head. So, and the sun that's coming onto this moon is Sagittarian. So we've got Sag and Gemini to really thinking. I think that this eclipse is going to have a lot to do with a particular kind of knowledge, and probably with the simple fact that a lot of what we think we know has been eclipsed by something that's buried. And the eclipse is always the subconscious eclipse because it's in the heart. Does that make sense? So the things that we think we're thinking and the things that we think we're saying to Sagittarius and Gemini are actually somehow either being blocked or just sort of misconstrued because there's still some piece of wisdom kind of waiting for us to notice it, feel it. And I think that this eclipse will be a really great time for us to work with that. That's kind of in a nutshell.
So do you think it'll be kind of startling, like, oh my gosh, do I really feel that, or have I been deceiving myself?
Yeah, I never know. Like, I guess with each one of us, sometimes it's startling, sometimes people get anxious, sometimes, I think more than anything, the things that an eclipsed moon brings about can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, but if we really pay attention to what's being revealed, it's always something that's a great gift of awareness because it helps us to move forward, move out of a place of, a lack of awareness. And the thing about the moons, all of the transits, but is that depending upon where this moon is falling in somebody's chart, like in your chart, it'll be the eighth house. So in your chart, this will be something that comes way deep out of the sub-regions because it's going to be an eighth house something. And it could be that you get some kind of gorgeous hit relative to the way you channel and the kinds of information that come up for you. This is a perfect placement. Yeah, it's a perfect place to have an eclipsed moon in the eighth house. But let's say it were in the 10th house. Let's say somebody's got their Gemini energy in the 10th house instead of the 8th. That would be a completely different experience for them than what you're going to experience because a 10th house, if the full eclipsed moon is occurring in somebody's chart in their 10th house, then something will come up that will have to do with their career. The way, you know, maybe it'll be something that they thought they wanted and all of a sudden something will be revealed and they'll realize, wow, thank you for that information. Maybe I don't want to do that. Or maybe I want to do this a lot differently than I thought I wanted to do it. Or if this eclipse full moon were going to land at somebody's fourth house of home, their home and family, then the thing that is the potential for the revelation there or is some sort of deep emotional transformation will have to do something, maybe with something about the relationship to their parents. It could have something to do with just how they perceive their whole home situation. But the thing to also
remember, it's more like a revelation. It's not like the ending or a big disaster.
No, nothing like that. And that with Gemini, because it's a full eclipse Gemini moon, Gemini just wants to help us to open our minds, to be more curious, and to realize we have lots of possibilities. I love that about Gemini. It says diversify, everybody. Remember that it just wants to. Gemini loves information. It loves to bring us into experiencing lots of different ways of seeing every situation. So I think that what it's going to do is it's going to help everybody to just sort of open a little bit more. That would be my hope, anyway.
That would be great. And I think we should take our caller so she doesn't freeze on the line. I like what you said. I'm excited. I'm ready. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Oh, good, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm really good, and I actually have the fourth house Gemini, so I was listening very intently to what she was saying.
Good.
Thank you.
Do you have any planets at home in your fourth house, Lisa?
I don't think so.
Okay. So just be a way for you to open be open to anything that might come along that might help you to better understand anything about the situation with your home. And sometimes these things do have to do with our parents. It depends upon whether or not they're still living. But even if they aren't, sometimes we get just like this little hit of awareness around something that would be fuddling forever, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, right, I get that now.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, I kind of get a sense of what it's going to be. In the back of my mind, I have, like, this intuition about it, so actually looking forward to it.
Do you have a question tonight, Lisa?
But I guess I do. It's actually about relationships. It's a very interesting question because I was friends with someone, and what occurred a couple of months ago is that relationship had to come to closure. But the person has resurfaced since yesterday, and I'm wondering, what is the purpose for that? because even though he was a great friend, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to go back to that friendship.
Well, I want to make a little bit of a Gemini kind of joke and say, you know, he resurfaced, which reminds me of the word veneer, and it is a veneer. You know what he is deeper down. Maybe Deb's got something to say about it. And I go, he's nice, and it's nice to make a balance, but I don't trust that it can be what you trusted it to be before, you see?
Yeah, I get that sense.
It eases the troubled waters in a way, but it's not going to be somewhere you place your deeper self. What would you say, Deb?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that one of the things that can be eclipsed when you're working with Gemini is the deeper tide. is the fact that Gemini loves to play, and it's real charismatic and social and fun. I'm not talking about just somebody's sun. I'm just talking about the energy that's universal outside of the context of a chart. And so it shows us where we're just skating across the surface playfully, and sometimes then where we don't want to just skate across the surface playfully. We want to go to the deeper tide.
Yeah,
and you get the information. You get the actual clicking in your head, where you're looking at this, and you're looking at it from all. It's like you've got this ball of a relationship in your hand, this globe, and you can look at it all around, see everything that's going on with it.
But I don't think he can go very deep with you.
Yeah, I get that sense too.
All right. Well, at least you're intuitive, and you know, so you know not to, you know. It's good
timing. Deep down. Even though I think the person has a good heart, I just don't know that he's capable of showing up a certain way.
No, but thank you for calling, and you better call in a couple of weeks and tell us what happened.
Okay.
With a little humor, I hope.
Definitely.
Take care, Lisa. Thank you. So Deb, can you feel it? You're personally, can you feel the full moon? Because I think I can.
Yeah, and then we don't have to wait until I say this every week. I know I do. I just keep repeating it, but we never have to wait until the transit is hitting dead on to feel it. We feel it little by little, and then when it hits, when it's at its apex, like it will be Saturday morning, that's when the fullest weight of the energy is felt by everyone, and then it starts to sort of release us little by little by little. But yeah, I could definitely feel it already tonight.
And do you
communicate?
It must have a huge impact on, for example, the American government, right? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it has an impact on everything. It wouldn't just be the American government. It would be any government and every government. The two energies involved are Sagittarius and Gemini. And Sagittarius has so much to do with politics and the way we find meaning in our lives. And so some people find meaning in their lives through political, some people find meaning in their lives through the sort of religious. These are all frameworks of thinking. They're all but Gemini says, open yourself up so that you're not just working with a certain particular sort of intellectual construct. But in other words, if you're talking about a government, which you can be talking about with Sagittarius, the Gemini full moon says, what haven't you looked at?
Mm-hmm.
What aren't you seeing? There's more information here. Look for it. And the other thing
I was thinking when you said that earlier, I thought, well, golly, that must mean we're up for some more revelations.
There's always a potential for that. There's also the potential to just stay glib and stay on the surface of it and throw a lot of information at people that really isn't relevant. That's the shadow of Gemini. It would be just a whole lot of information that's not hinged together in any way that has any meaning.
That's like the Monica Lewinsky that kept everything busy so that we didn't know what else was going on politically, right?
Yeah, and it's also like the way somebody like Newt Gingrich wanders around and throws information around that he just kind of makes up. Well, there's a lot of that just kind of making up of information going on out there right now. But
Marketing. It's marketing.
Yeah, the eclipse moon basically says, which of this information, look at this. Which of it is sort of shadowy and murky and it doesn't really mean anything and it's false, and which of it is actually something that you want to use? One of the things about Gemini that... One of the great teachings of Gemini for all of us is how to pull our minds away from the monkey mind and all the scattered, all the different ways we put our filters out there. So sometimes we're looking in so many different directions that we miss the thing that's right in front of our face. And I love
that
about this
to me.
Hmm? Yeah. The thing that's wonderful about an eclipsed Gemini moon is it kind of says that. It says it to the government. It says it to the church. It says it to the banks. It says it to each one of us. It says, you've got a lot of things to say, and you've got a lot of things to think, and there's a lot of information coming and going in your life. But where is the thing that's been eclipsed that's one of the primary pieces of this puzzle?
So sort of, are we still in retrograde? Isn't that a kind of an important role in retrograde as well?
Yeah, and Mercury is still retrograde until next Wednesday night.
So that must make it doubly powerful, is it?
It does make it doubly powerful.
Yay!
The Mercury, I think the retrograde Mercury is a great sort of helper in all this, because Mercury rules Gemini. It's the planet that rules the sign Gemini. And it also has to do with what the mind is up to. But when Mercury's retrograde, the mind is turned more into the inner life. So, and then, you know, which completely dovetails with an eclipsed moon. We're looking for something that's to come up out of the deeper part of ourselves, instead of just looking out at all the blah, 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 blah. Like you said, the marketing, and everybody's marketing. The governments are marketing, the candidates are marketing, the banks are marketing. It's not just all the stores who are selling glittery, cheap, awful stuff. And, you know, to market, you know, what looks like it might be joyful, because if you just go buy some more things, you know, you'll be happy, all of that.
Especially if they sparkle. Anyway, Deb, thank you so much. You've really given me a lot to think about, and I'm going to, I hope, enjoy. I'd like to get up and watch this eclipse, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning?
No, it'll be 6:30 where you are.
Oh, that's great.
But it'll be eclipsed. Well, yeah, it'll be in the eclipse phase at 7. It starts going into the eclipse at 6:30 or something like that. There's a wonderful website. There's a bunch of them, but there's one really good one that you can just Google and find out where you'll be able to see the eclipse wherever you are in the world.
Oh, I'm going to pray for some nice clear skies and get up early.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I love your show, and I love you, and
well, I will talk
to you in a few weeks.
You're a wonderful, inspiring person. So this is Deb of, you give your website, Deb.
Website is www.lovedogdesign.com.
And I want to tell everybody that you have a wonderful piece of art for sale right now, which is the most amazing owl. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
And
it's a metaphor for the divine feminine and for all that Athena represented. There were owls all over the Pantheon a long time ago. I don't think most people know that. White owls.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because she so loved them. The owl used to have a completely different symbolism than it has now, but I'm going to go so you can take some calls.
Well, I just want people to get hold of your website, Love Dog Design, and get hold of Deb for your astrological reading. And thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much. I love you dearly. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Love you dearly, too. Bye. Now, call in if you'd like to call in and talk to us about your life. Let us know what's going on in your world. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and you're listening to Radiance by Design, and we're learning about the radiance of an eclipse of the moon in Gemini that's coming up. So let's see what else we're going to talk about tonight. I see that a lot of people are feeling a kind of an intense, it's like a wall of insecurity people seem to be leaning up against. And I want to say it's very hard because everything that's pumped at us is about fear, 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 fear. Here are the numbers, here are the stats, people are losing. And you hear all that stuff, and then your search for work might take a little longer, and you're feeling precarious. And I'm going, it's really important for us to begin to realize where we feel precarious, really feeling insecure and so on. Bring it up, feel it, and then command total release of it. Don't pretend you don't have it, because that's where you kind of waver at a deep level, and what you're radiating out there isn't a nice, firm, light presentation of who you are. It's kind of the shadow self. You're being afraid. You know that who are you compared to the other person that you ran into, can't get work, and so on. You and I know that we can create a reality, and it's a subjective kind of thing. So if you can focus on your abundance and you can focus on creating and designing the jobs that you want and the home and family you want and so on, if you can really stay there, oh, goody, you're on the air. But if you can really, I'll just finish this thought. If you can really stay there, you have a much greater chance of absolutely unfolding the dream of your world, no matter what's coming out of the mass-marketed media, mass-marketed wisdom, if that's what it is. You're on the air, and I'm glad. Hi.
Hi, Veronica.
How you doing?
Fine. I'm Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can. I'm excited I got through. I've been listening to you for a couple weeks now. I'm surprised I got in with the astrologer on there, too.
Oh, well, we're glad you did. So what's new with you, girl?
Everything. I'm really going through so many different things at this moment. Mm-hmm. I lost my husband almost 2 years ago, so this holiday season is a little difficult, but not as difficult as the last 2 years. So I feel like I'm doing good in that way. I'm just starting to do some chakra work.
Good.
I do have some career issues.
How long were you with him?
Oh, we were together 20 years.
That's a while, huh?
He was my soulmate.
And was it a shock that he passed?
Well, you know, he was ill, but it was like an illness that came on, actually, you know, brain cancer. So it was terminal right away as soon as they found it.
Oh.
He was a healthy man. He was only 46, and he went in 15 months, and the last couple months were very heavy caregiving. And I feel like for the first year, I'm just dealing with post-traumatic stress, basically.
For sure, I'm sure.
And then then it opened up a whole new, of course, transformation for me. I almost hesitate to say that because then it feels like a positive thing came out, and I'm still holding on to that guilt of surviving, I guess.
But you know what? Grief is the most amazing transformative tool we'll ever have. You know,
and it's the fastest, I think, because this is so much going on with me in these last 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, it's
once
tremendous.
Finally...
And I see your husband. He's around. But he's learning a lot right now. I don't think he just like hangs around. I think he just is showing that he's learning so much and growing.
Oh, I pray.
Yeah.
I pray. I do feel him around me a lot. I get a lot of signs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, when I'm not in an acute state of grief, I sense him. And when I am, I'm just still, you know, hanging on, I guess it is. But I feel like I'm doing a lot of work. I've recently gotten, you know, I have a lot of financial worries at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you working, Donna?
No, not right now. I'm actually thinking of trying a like an aromatherapy incense, just a stand at the local flea markets that are very big in New Jersey all year round.
Oh, good, good.
And I was wondering if you had any sense or feeling that would work for me. Or
well, honey, before you said flea market, I was going to say you're going to open your business with a few other people around with their businesses. So I think it's going to work really well. But the best thing it's going to is refine. Apparently, you're quite intuitively knowledgeable about these things. And it's going to refine some of that knowledge. And it's going to take off in a while with two of the other women that you get to know. I don't quite know what you're going to do. But it's like being in that situation is going to pop you up and move you into another business, but you don't need to rush about that. It's got a nice flow to it.
Great.
And it's funny, I say you don't need to rush, but golly, things are going fast these days, aren't they?
Very. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the Gemini moon now. It's landing on my 12th house.
Oh, my. So what does that tell you?
It's a little dark, isn't it? I don't know.
I think the 12th house, I don't know if Deb's still listening, but the 12th house to me is like ancient wisdom and secrets that come through the soul. And that sometimes we get pulled, this is the way I understand it, okay? Sometimes we get pulled into changes that are unfathomable. So some people that I know that have a lot of 12th house stuff are really afraid of intuitive stuff or spiritual things, and other ones are absolutely permeated with it. You see what I mean? It's not a little soft hint of it. It's like the whole shebang. Well, so people are either afraid of it or they love it. And I think you're going to love it.
I'm so open for it at this. I feel like I'm on the verge of really opening up my spiritual pathways.
I agree with you
now
entirely.
That I'm not grief-stricken. Pardon?
And you're going to have grief off and on for years, you know that? And that's not because of you.
I
it's
imagine.
Because that's what I went through a similar thing some years ago. But and I studied grief because I couldn't handle it without studying. And it's just fascinating how it crops up in people, all kinds of clients that I have, many years down the road to kind of remind you. And it's like this eclipse, little secrets come up from it, or little feelings come up from it, or bits of yourself come up from it that have been locked down, you know? So,
so
your grief
deep.
Has been very, very rich and very powerful, and will be certainly much less painful from now on, I'm pretty sure. You know?
I'm feeling that way. I'm praying for it, and I'm working, you know, daily to just get my vibes up so that I'm not sinking down into the depths of, you know, despair. And I, you know, without this in the last 2 years.
And are you doing physical activity?
Spiritual. Not as much as I should be.
I think it really helps.
The moment it gets cold, I'm not. I'm really not, I shouldn't say.
Now, it's a really good idea to do something, because I'm watching your inner. You've got this spirituality rising, and then you have this sort of eclipsing, and that's not just the astrological, but emotions come up, and they kind of take you over. Remind yourself that, I mean, just putting on music that you like and dancing your brains out for 15 or 20 minutes will shift the endorphins, and you'll see yourself moving from one end to the other of that feeling at that time. And it's good for your legs and your waist.
Oh, I love that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
I used to love to dance, and I haven't in so long, just as I cleaned around the house, and I haven't.
It's a really important thing, because you're evolving very fast now, honey, and it's going to help flip off some of that old stuff that's left from past experiences. And your husband will be around to cheer you on at times. That won't stop. You know, so you're not going to lose
him. That's
the
biggest thing I miss, but he was my cheerleader.
Yeah, well, he's going to bring you someone else in a while.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
If they say that he brought him, I might even look at them. Other than that, I'm so closed off to any of that.
I'm sure you are. And I have to let you. And I want to say blessings
to you.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Oh, bless your heart. All right. Good night. And I think we have another caller, but I think we also have to say goodbye, so you have to be fast. Hello? Oh, maybe that was our beep from BBS Radio saying we have to be off the air. This is Veronica and Whistle saying we're going to be talking to...
One caller holding.
Oh, okay, we'll take the caller.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, who's that?
Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying listening to your program. I just thought I would call in. I did have a question for you.
You didn't?
I do have a question for you.
You're on. You have to talk fast because they're going to hook me off stage.
Okay. I'm looking to take a class and next week, and I'm wondering if that's something for me to move forward with at this time.
It's very good. I don't know what you did last week, but there's something in you just waking up, and it's going to catch the wave in you, and you'll just barrel on. It's great. And that's about all I have time for.
All right. Thank you very much.
Blessings to you. Much love. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. I've had a lot of fun with tonight's show, and I hope you have. And I'm going to be talking to Jackie Lapine about creating your reality. She's a manifestation teacher, and quite a character and a promotional character and an intuitive in her own right. We'll be talking to her next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on Paradigm Shifters. Stay tuned to the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing. This is Veronica Entwistle again saying, email me if you have any feedback, if you have suggestions for guests, if you have questions, if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And again, I say thank you so much for listening, and many, many blessings to all of you. Good night.